Why don't you go ahead and take your Bibles and let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 and we're going to pick up where we left off last Wednesday. Of course, we're back at, and we're going to talk a little bit about David and Goliath tonight. Not a whole lot because we've already had a three-part sermon series, you might say, several months ago where we talked about Giants Must Fall and kind of gave the initial start to it all. And then I promised we would eventually revisit that. Well, that time has now come to revisit and talk specifically about different giants that we face in life and the ones that need to fall and we need to see victory over on a regular basis. And so we're going to continue where we left off. We talked about the fact that in this area, in this point of giants must fall when we face giants in life, that we have to come with a reality look at it all. You can't go into facing giants and trying to take on things that are going to be difficult with the idea that it's just going to be easy breezy and it's going to be simple. It's just a simple, you know, hey, it's a 1-2-3. You know, there's no three-step solution per se to just walk all over giants. We started talking about last Wednesday how that to have a reality check to start off with, you come to the understanding and realization that giants are bigger and stronger than we are. There's no two ways about it. There's no way of getting around it. The whole reason that they are called giants is because they tower over us. And they're not just taller, not just bigger. They don't just cast a shadow on our life, but they have the strength and ability to destroy us. And Satan loves to use these giant things, these giant issues in our life to destroy us in our Christian walk, to also destroy our testimony so that we cannot be effective for the Lord as a child of God. And so these giants we face, we have to go before them into battle, knowing and to a degree respecting the obstacle in front of us. Not that I consider giants in my life respectable, but I consider just how big and bad they are to be something that I must consider. And it's just like, I'll put it this way, you take a firearm, for example. The biggest problem with most firearm accidents is when people fail to respect the ability of such a weapon. The weapon has no ability in itself to kill. The weapon it's not predisposed to just fire when it wants to, and it doesn't have a mind of its own. Now, if we're talking about computers, I promise you, sometimes they do have a mind of their own. But when you're talking about like a firearm, people say, well, let me turn this thing on. It might help. Okay, brother, I got this other mic on. Go ahead and switch me over. Might have to bring it down some too because we need to make adjustments. There we go. I got me a new mic. So the other one was messing up. But when you're talking about these giants and you're talking about things such as, say, firearms or whatever, you understand that respecting something doesn't mean that it holds a higher value than something else, but it does mean you understand its potential. And when you're talking about, people say, well, you know, guns kill. No, they don't. People kill. Guns are just a tool that's used to bring about the person's desired result. That tool, though, at times, there have been plenty of accidents that take place, whether in home or accidents that take place when hunting. The one biggest danger of anybody dealing with something like a firearm or something of any nature that could be dangerous, has the potential to be dangerous, the number one fatal flaw when it comes to human beings is getting so comfortable with the idea of something that we forget to respect its potential. We forget to understand how dangerous it can be when we take for granted what it can do. And the same thing is true with giants. It's oftentimes it's not our inability to be victorious as much as it is our failure to understand we can fail when facing giants. They have the potential to overcome and overwhelm. Satan has the ability to use things in our life to beat us down. Well, I got Jesus on my side. Yes, you do. You also have flesh you battle with on a daily basis. And the question is, which one do you feed the most? Your walk with the Lord or your walk with the flesh? And when we're not, if we're not careful and we don't have respect for the fact that there are giants in our life that have the potential to bury us and to destroy us. When we think that we've got it figured out, and well, that's not that big of a deal, or I faced this one before, I can face this one again. We need to go into every battle respecting what we're facing, but at the same time understanding we can be victorious because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so I can, with the help of the Lord, conquer giants and see them fall. But I must understand that every single giant, even if in the past I might have seen some fall, every single giant I face is bigger and stronger than me and has the potential to ruin me and destroy me as a child of God if I don't go facing the giant the way the Bible tells me to face my giants. Now, as we went through this, we started off in Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we dealt with the children of Israel, not necessarily dealing with David, but this is far before all of that, and in showing and presenting as they were going into the promised land that they were guaranteed to face giants. And I'll read this again to you very quickly, and then we'll go to Joshua. But they were told, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God, he is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee." Now the ending there, as we look at verse number 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 9, that last little section we read is the future ability for the children of Israel to be victorious over the terrors of the land. However, verse number 1 and verse number 2 is the reality check to remind the children of Israel, you're going in to face a people that is bigger, stronger, mightier than you are. And you will not be able to win except for the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. And so the reminder of you are facing obstacles, you are facing things bigger than you and bigger than you can by yourself have the potential to overcome. And yet God is going before you. And if you will let him, he will lead you into victory. And so there's two simple reality checks there that they got that we have to understand as well in life. And that is, we cannot win on our own because they are bigger. Giants are bigger and stronger than us. And number 2, we can have the potential to win if we let God go before us and we let God fight with us and lead the way into victory. And so by ourselves, it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. So as we face these giants, looking in Joshua, we're just going to come straight on down to where we left off. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, also verse number 9, we're going to see where Joshua, we left off last Wednesday talking about what's it going to take? What's that one thing it's really going to take to face giants and see them fall and these issues in our life not be victorious over us, but us learn how to be victorious over our issues? Well, if we're going to do it, there's one word that must come to mind and we must operate by, and that is courage. It's going to take courage to face the giants, because you might be ready on the first round, but after the first round, when you go back and you have to face that giant again, you might be a little more hesitant. And the next time you got to face a giant, after a while, if you're not careful in this Christian battle, you just get tired, you get wore out, you get beat down, and if you're not allowing the Lord to sustain you, after a while, you just get to a point where, you know what, I don't know if I want to face another giant. I think I'll just sit this one out. I think I'll go to the sidelines, let somebody else fight for a while. I really just don't feel like it. I'm a little afraid of what might happen. Courage is going to be what drives us through when this flesh doesn't want to fight. So Joshua, and looking at the individual God used to take the children of Israel into the promised land and to see victory, we said the promised land across the Jordan is not a picture of going to heaven. Going over Jordan into the promised land is a picture of leaving the old way of living and passing over into a successful, victorious Christian life as you follow God through victory after victory after victory in claiming the promise of God for our lives. But it takes battles and it takes victory to understand promises come true. And so Joshua comes to an understanding that it's going to be God that's going to help him. God knows what needs to be done. And God is aware of how to handle things and how to give the confidence that that Joshua is going to need, and Joshua would have his confidence in the Lord. Look at verse number 6 and 7 in dealing with Joshua chapter 1. It says, verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. There's a beginning part of the challenge towards Joshua. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You understand? Within that short little period right there of a non-broken up statement the Lord is speaking to Joshua, he back to back tells him, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. And be thou strong and very courageous. Why is he having to constantly remind him? Because that's going to be his biggest battle. Stay strong, keep courage, keep fighting, and don't give up, because it might seem like it's going to get a long ways down the road. It's going to seem like it never ends, and it's just one battle after the next and one giant after the next to face. But be strong and of good courage. Goes on to say in verse number 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This was not only a challenge by the Lord to Joshua, but this is a promise given not just to Moses. It's a reminder of what he promised Moses, and the fact that they would be going over, and the promises to the children of Israel, but it is now also a very specific promise to Joshua. And that last statement in only be thou strong and very courageous, but at the very end it says that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Don't get sidetracked. Don't try to find a better route. Don't try to go around what I'm giving you to do. You face the battles I give you to face. You do it the way I tell you to do it. You do it consistently. Be strong and very courageous and don't give up. Keep moving forward. And why is all that? Because Joshua, I'm giving you a specific promise. And that is, if you will follow this challenge I'm giving to you, to be strong and courageous, to not turn to the left hand or to the right, but to go straight on and follow my lead and lead God's people into the inheritance that they are supposed to have. Joshua, if you will do this, you will do it that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That is a promise to Joshua. So Joshua understands that it's going to take strength, and not just his own strength, but strength from the Lord, and it's going to take courage. A courage to stick with it when it doesn't seem like it's possible. A courage to push on when it seems like you're being pushed against. A courage to keep moving forward when honestly retreat seems like the best idea. Courage. Because the promises of God are seen on the other side of the battles, not without facing battles. And so we find that to be true as they faced the very first walls of Jericho. It didn't make sense. God said, do it this way. Ended up being one of the easiest battles they ever had. It was so easy and it was so issueless, you might say, without any problems, that they left the whole walls of Jericho. Once they found, they left that whole thing and they plundered the city and did all they were supposed to do. And they went straight after Ai. Look how big Jericho was. Boy, Jericho's huge. Look how easy that one fell. Let's just take the next one. And they went without ever seeking God's wisdom and God's advice and God's counsel. And they just attacked with that energy they had gained from victory over Jericho. And when they attacked, they got beaten back by an army that had no chance against them. And they lost thousands. And they got discouraged. And they tucked tail and ran. And then they're like, oh, what did God do? Why? And then God says, why? Don't come to me with all this. There's sin in the camp. You should have come to me before you went to battle because you didn't seek my wisdom. I'm the one that's going before you. And yet you got in front of me and took off. And now you're wanting to come to me and say, what is God doing? Why didn't God fight for it? No. In the end, even Joshua was guilty of getting too excited, getting ahead of God, and then looking back and saying, whoa, why did God do this? God didn't. He just let you do your thing. You brought your own punishment on you. And God was still there when they came back to where they never should have left. He was right where they left him. And he said, now let's deal with the problem before we move forward. But you see, after that loss at Ai, they struggled to even want to go back against him again. They struggled to want to face another battle. Because they had faced one in their own flesh and their own ability and failed. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, can we do this? And there are numerous times when facing the enemy, there'll be times where we feel like, I don't know if I can do this. But again, who's leading and who's following? That's what it comes down to. Well, move a little bit faster. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 tells us in Joshua 1, after he's gotten that command from the Lord and the challenge and the promise. Verse number 9 says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. There it is again, the third time. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And there's the promise that brings about the confidence, allows us to have the courage we need to face the giants. Four things. There we go. Again, I was homeschooled. So if I can't count, it's not my fault. But four things, very simply, to keep in mind. And I'm going to try to get through these quickly because I want to move on next Wednesday without coming back to this introduction area. But the first thing is this, when you're going to face giants, you have to understand, yes, they are bigger and yes, they are stronger. But we said courage is what is needed. Well, how do we come about with courage? Remembrance breeds courage. When we remember things that are important to this Christian walk, we can understand what courage, the building of courage is. Joshua is put to remembrance in the first part of verse number 6. And as it goes through Joshua 1:6, the very first thing he was reminded here that the command is to be courageous. And so therefore, he's reminded by God himself that he is to be strong and courageous. But going on also, he find out that he was reminded that God's presence would be with him. And that what we saw in verse number 9, that the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That remembrance of God being with him. And then look back to the times he followed Moses. And the times where Moses said God will be with us. And the times where God proved himself over and again. And as Joshua is put into remembrance of these things, that remembrance of what God had done before gave courage for what God can do in the future. Moses, there is one time in Exodus 33:15. Moses understood the need for the presence of God to bring about the courage to move forward. He understood this as it was laid before him and the necessity of God's presence. And Joshua was around to understand the leadership of Moses and the mindset of Moses in having God with him. His presence matters. And in Exodus 33:15 it says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses very clearly understanding, and I believe at the same time, he passed on that understanding that if God doesn't go with us, we better not go at all. If God's not gonna be by our side, we better just stay put until he decides to move. And Moses, listen, Lord, don't send us somewhere. Take us. And that's what the promise is from God for Joshua, as well as it is for us as well. He will take us into battle and take us in through to victory. And then also, in that last part of verse number 6, Joshua was reminded that God's promise was still intact. It hadn't changed. When it said, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Talking about the children of Israel. God's reminding Joshua, I promised your fathers years and years and generations ago that I would take care of them and I would provide for them and I would give them a land. And now that promise is now coming true. So God's word and God's promises are still intact at the moment that Joshua is being challenged by the Lord to stay faithful, take God's people into the land, and fight for the victory in their life. And then God's promises that were given generations ago are still intact, still valid, and are about to be understood and realized through faithfulness and obedience. So remembrance can breed courage. Sometimes you just need to go back and remember. Go back and remember the promises. Remember the goodness of the Lord. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We used that Sunday night and talked about that. But you can go back and believe to see by looking at what he has done, his faithfulness in the past, and how he's been faithful to us even today in the present. But also, in looking at courage, there is an opposite of courage. What is the opposite of courage? Cowardice. And what you got to understand in battle is, as much as courage is needed, cowardice is possible. And if we're not careful, we can fall prey to the paralyzing aspects of cowardice. And just as when the spies were brought back that evil report to Israel, and the people cried out, and they were afraid, and all of a sudden they went from excitement about the promised land to fear, and I don't want to go in there. They saw the grapes, and they heard the testimony of it being a land flowing with milk and honey, all the different stuff. It's everything God promised. And boy, I tell you what, they had to have been excited right then. Boy, it's everything. And then all of a sudden they hear the but. And then the stories start coming out. And the spies who were paralyzed by the fear, they were so paralyzed by fear, they couldn't even enjoy that God had kept his word and everything he said the land was proof in what they brought back. They couldn't even enjoy all of the bounty that was available to them because they were so afraid of what they were going to have to face. And that fear paralyzed them. They didn't want to fight. And next thing you know, it traveled over and carried over into those who heard the stories. And fear and cowardice paralyzed the people. And they said, we ain't going. I don't care what's in that land. I ain't going. And of course, the people who were afraid to die in the promised land end up dying in the wilderness. You see, when you don't follow God's plan, if you stay out of God's will for fear of death, you'll die out of God's will anyways. And so the children of Israel did not go in the first time. We know that. They failed to understand. They saw it right there, but the cowardice and fear paralyzed them. And it's much like the same way as when Saul, we're talking about David and Goliath, the way Saul responded to Goliath. Go to 1 Samuel 17 very quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time and read all these verses because we've already been here in looking at the first aspect of all this a long time back. And so I'm not going to reiterate a whole other section of things that we've already dealt with before. But I am going to just kind of bring to your remembrance some issues with this time of David and Goliath and Saul, who was there, and God's the army of Israel that was there. But you understand, Saul's fear passed on and carried on into the army of Israel, and they picked up on the leadership's fear, and then they feared themselves, and because of it, they were all paralyzed with the idea of facing Goliath. And in 1 Samuel 17, in verse number 11, you hear the account here. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words, the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And that's pretty much where it ended. The Bible tells us they came out day after day after day with Goliath giving his challenge, and Saul and the children of Israel not budging. They weren't about to go face him. The best they would do is look at him from a distance. They were not about. Cowardice had set in, and nobody wanted to be the one to go out and challenge the giant. Goliath presented a legitimate threat to Israel, but not to God. And you see that in 1 Samuel chapter 17 as well. But then also King Saul acted no differently than a heathen king, Belshazzar. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 6 says, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. In other words, the man was so scared he couldn't even stand up because of his problems that he was facing and the struggle that was before him. And he was a heathen king. He was a lost king. Saul was supposed to be a king following the King of Kings. He was supposed to be a man who knew what it was to be in touch with the Lord of Lords, the King of all creation. And yet, Saul acted just like a lost person when facing the problems, when facing the giant. And understand, if we're not careful, we might say we know the Lord, but if we don't get close with him, if we don't walk with him closely, if we don't spend time with him, we'll end up acting more like Saul when facing our giants than we do like David. David was ready to go forward. Saul just wanted to fall away. He was paralyzed by fear and ultimately cowardice. Let me give you the third thing very quickly. Courage is contagious. Just like cowardice can be contagious, courage can as well. David heard the taunting of the giant, and the task may have been humanly impossible, but like Joshua, David knew that the Lord, you see in Joshua 1 in the first part of 9, we saw that already, but the Lord thy God is with thee, with us wherever thou goest, until the last part of verse number 9. And so David understood that same thought, God is with me, and if God's with me, who can be against me? We know that from the New Testament challenge that we have. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 37, you're already there in 1 Samuel. You see an answer by David. He said, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul was more than willing to send somebody else. You go right ahead. Go take care of him, and God be with you. But as you look at this, David was not afraid to face the giant because he understood the Lord is with me, and the giant might be more than I can handle, but he's not more than my God can handle. And we have to understand that same thought as well. I'm going to move on very quickly here with this one, just to end this one out. I got many other verses. If you look at the continuing on how David goes, and he fights with sticks and stones, and of course the accusation that Goliath gives, and the confidence that Goliath shows, and then of course the courage that David shows. And all that is seen from verse number 38 in 1 Samuel 17, verse number 38 all the way down to verse number 48. But the thought that you need to understand here when it comes to David is David didn't run from the obstacle, he ran toward it. And this is what facing your giants is all about. It's not, and again, it's not running alone. It's running knowing who is fighting with you. It's taking the Lord with you and also at the same time following God, because the Lord's not going to back up from the giant. He's just going to attack at the right time in the right way, and he will be there to help see us be victorious. So as we face giants in our life, I have to understand you cannot run away from the giant to see victory, but you also cannot run ahead of God either. We must let the Lord lead the way and let him give not only the understanding of how to face this giant, but the courage to stand in the face of the great opposition. And the last thing is this courage. When dealing with that courage, it is liberating. Not only was David about to deliver a dose of courage to Goliath from his own actions, but through that, he was going to give some of that courage as well to the Israelites. And they were going to understand all of a sudden the giant falls. And next thing you know, the Israelites, they grab all their weapons and they're ready to go. And they start chasing after the Philistines. They take off. And boy, hey, David faced the giant. He had courage. He gave a huge dose of that straight to Goliath, which knocked him flat. And then all of a sudden, the children of Israel instantly picked up on that same courage and said, you know what? Let's go. And they chased after the enemy and saw a great victory that day. When one person, when one child of God has the courage to stand against their giants, it can give other children, it can give other saved individuals courage to face their giants as well. Can I just be honest? Sometimes it's the sharing, not for the bragging and not for the boasting, but sometimes it's the willingness to share our story of a struggle with a giant and how God helped us find victory that lets others know they can win as well. They can become victorious as well. They can be overcomers as well. But don't forget to remind them where the strength comes from, where the courage comes from, and where the answer is found. It's not in my ideas or the world's ideas of step 1, 2, and 3. Here's how you can do it. No, it is following the Lord wholeheartedly. When God teaches us valuable lessons and gives us the courage to face giants, it's important to share that courage with others. And when others see us take a stand and others see us push forwards against the opposition and others see us moving on as God leads, and we just follow by faith and do things that may not make sense to most people, but we, as they watch and as they learn, they see our lives blessed by God's provision and see how God takes care of things and how God gives victory. Sometimes it might be things that have overcome us for years, and we fought with it for years, and people know we struggled with it for years, and then all of a sudden we give it to God and we let God help us through it, and we face those giants once and for all, and we see those things fall before us in our lives, and we see our ability to get victory over some things, and then people watch and say, wow, how did they do that? We get a chance to share how God can help see giants fall. And it just might be the very thing another child of God needs, to have the courage to say, I think I'll give it another try in my life as well. Courage is very liberating. So here's the final conclusion of this. And we'll get ready and spend some time praying together. Final conclusion and understanding that your giants are bigger and stronger. Don't let anyone tell you that your giants aren't real. Because they are. May not be the same giant somebody else has, so they don't understand it, but everybody has their giants. They are real, they are present, and they will fight you. We know that they are bigger, stronger, meaner, and more powerful than we could ever be on our own. But that's a perfect scenario. Because through that, we also know that as we face these giants and we see these giants fall in defeat because the Lord has helped us win the victory in our Christian walk, then as they fall, people see they can be defeated. And it's God that gets the glory because they know there's no way we could have done that on our own. There's no way that person did that in their own strength and their own ideas. It had to have been something God did in their life and for them in life. So as we get ready to go into all of this, one major question does come to mind, and that is, are you ready to do what it takes? Are you ready to have the courage it's going to take, the patience it's going to take, and the willingness to follow the Lord that it's going to take to see giants fall? We all have them. We might be surprised if we actually knew the actual giants that each person faced. We might be surprised. Oh, not them. Oh, no way they struggle with something like that. Not that person. Not Brother Walt. I got to pick on him now. Surely not him. He's been a preacher for how many years? My goodness, no. He ought to have victory over everything. If we could see each other's struggles, we'd probably be shocked at some of the things that, and be honest, some of the giants we face are all up here. And Satan loves to play in this playground. Because if he can defeat you in your mind, and he can win the victory over your mind and your thoughts, he can keep us ineffective for the cause of Christ. You will never attempt a single thing if in your mind you're convinced it's over with before it ever starts. He wants to keep us so defeated and so down. And it may not even be a real thing. It might just be something in our mind we're convinced of. And yet that's exactly where Satan would love to win, because then nothing ever gets attempted. And so we're going to face giants, every single one of us. I don't know what your giants are. You don't know what mine are. But I do know this much. We have to face them, and we have to see them fall. And it's going to be by God's grace, God's help, and his provision, encouraged by him in our lives, that's going to help us be like a David and be like a Joshua, like a children of Israel, as we face the giants in our life. Heavenly Father, again.